Man, is that touching or what? Oh, I just love how our collective influence and giving and power can change somebody's life. And man, I am so excited to see how we're going to be doing that in the coming weeks. So today, we're in our fourth sermon on name above all names, looking at God's character, his different names, and his attributes. So far, we've looked at God being all glorious. We've looked at God being unchanging. And last week, we looked at God being the Lord of hosts. We're on a bit of a journey here, exploring more and more and more of God so that we can know him more fully. That's really the idea here. And in our pursuit to know God more, today we're looking at the name of God, Most High. Here's what that means. It means God is sovereign. It's a big theological word. Sovereign means that God is running everything, all the time, everywhere. If you want to reduce your anxiety in your life, understanding God as being sovereign is a key part of this. And let me just talk for a moment about some of the things that are happening in our country, like this week. If you would stop watching so much news and stop watching so many YouTube videos, you would see your anxiety decreasing. See if you can relate to my experience. So I'll see a news story on CNN. It sounds true. It seems accurate. And they're saying this is the truth. And then I'll hear a Fox News story. And they're saying, oh, this is true. And this is the truth. And it's exactly the opposite of what I just heard on CNN. And then I get a third version of truth. It's from a friend who sent me a YouTube link on some new version of what's actually happening around us. And man, can you relate to that? Our anxiety and our confusion rises the more we're trying to sort out really the fundamental question, who is in charge? Who's running this place anyway? Lots of conspiracy theories are just running rampant right now. Lots of opinions. And let me give you some biblical perspective today. A lot of people think they know who's running things. The Bible, in a very simple and a very clear way, declares this truth. God, Most High, is running everything. And I want to show you how you can know his supreme peace and live with amazing boldness as you turn to him and know him and experiencing him as the Most High. That's what we're going to look at today. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. So God, we want to come to your word right now as learners. We come with open hearts and open minds to really understand a deeper level of who are you? This Most High, amazing, all-ruling God. So teach us now when we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so listen, I'm going to answer three questions as we go through this sermon today. First question is this. What does God Most High mean? I've already alluded to that. It's the Hebrew word for God, by the way, El Elyon. It does mean that God is sovereign. It means he's in charge of all of the universe all of the time. Here's a definition. It's good to start with a definition and then we kind of build out from there. Definition of his sovereignty would be this. It's the right of God to do as he wishes with his creation. And this implies that there is no external influence upon him and that he also has the ability to exercise his right according to his will. That's a lot to take in. Look, you can search it up on the internet. The sovereignty of God, we're going to take about 30 minutes on this today. The sovereignty of God, people have written books on this topic and this subject. It is vast. It is like, it goes in so many amazing directions. We're going to start at the first place that is mentioned in Scripture, Genesis 14. In Genesis 14, God is addressed and acknowledged as El Elyon. Here's the situation. Abram is trying to figure out, well, who is this God? He's been called from his land of Ur to live in the promised land. And at that time, he didn't have the Bible. We have the Bible that talks about his life, but he didn't have these scriptures. He was surrounded by a world that had multiple gods, right? They had the God of the sun, the moon, the crops, different animals, the rain, on and on. Abram grew up in a home that was polytheistic, meaning that they worshiped many gods in his own home. And so the question that Abram would have is, okay, God has called me, who is he? He was on a progressive journey to learn who is God. And in Genesis chapter 14, Abram learns a new name for God, and it is El Elyon. It is, in essence, God saying to Abram at that time, just so there's no confusion here, Abram, I am an El, which means I am a God. But I'm not just a God. I am El Elyon, which means I am the God who is most high. I am the God who is over every other so-called God. I am the God who is over every circumstance that you experience, everything you ever see around you, everything you've never even seen because you're just such a finite person. I am the God of everything, Abram, and you can trust me. And if you worship me and follow me, I will bless you. So that's what God taught Abram in Genesis 14. Now, second question. How is God's sovereignty explained through the Bible? I want to give you five quick examples. I mean, there are hundreds of examples of this in the scriptures. Let me give you five. Here's the first one. God's most high over the nations. So in Deuteronomy 32, verse 8, it says, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the people according to the number of the sons of God. So look, countries have been fighting over borders ever since there's been a country. People have celebrated when they've won those battles and mourned when they have lost. Walls have been built, trenches have been dug, barbed wire has been laid, mines have been buried. But God always establishes the boundaries and rules over all the nations all the time. He is the Most High. Second example, he is Most High over seemingly random events. This one's really interesting. If you turn over to Proverbs, says the lot. So this is like rolling dice. The lot is cast into the lap. There's a lap of the person. You roll the dice, but it's every decision is from the Lord, right? Even the seemingly random and trivial things are under the Most High. Third example, nature. If you flip over to Psalms 135, 6 through 7, describes how God is Most High over nature. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth and the seas and all deep. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from its storehouses. So there you go, over all nature. Matthew 10 tells us he's over all animals. In Matthew 10, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from, outside of the rule of the Most High, apart from your Father. And here's the last one I want to show you real quick. He is Most High over humanity. Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1 says this, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. So he's describing, I am the Most High. And even over the human decisions of the heart, God is saying, I turn those like I can turn the flows of the water in the river. He is the sovereign God. Now, I showed you this diagram last week, right? That God is the Lord of hosts, and we give him our prayers, and then he filters those prayers through his glory and through his unchanging character, and he gives us our yes, our wait, or our no, right? You remember that. Now, here's the question. How does the Most High fit into this diagram? Well, in order to make the Most High fit here, we have to expand it. So watch how we're going to do this. Now, is that awesome or what? Now we have an expanded diagram so that I can draw in how does God Most High fit on this. And I'll tell you how he fits. We have to draw a line all the way across because he is sovereign. He is the Most High. He is El Elyon. It means he's over everything. He rules all of it all the time. I mean, we talked a second ago. I gave you some of those examples, right? I gave you the nations, right? He is over the nations, of course, yes. He is over the seemingly random events that are happening all the time in your life and around you. He's over all the animals. He's over every human decision. He's over it all, and he's over it all the time. As the sovereign God, he has both the will and the power to do whatever he determines is best. So we talked a little bit about nature and how God works around in nature. So here we go. Here's some examples of him working in nature, right? Weather, famine, even COVID-19. Oh, God is over all of that all the time because he is the Most High. How about, I talked about the nations. How about all the different shifts that come and the go with the ruling of the nations, with all of the things that happen in nations? Oh, war, peace, times of great prosperity, even times of hardship like the Great Depression. God is always the El Elyon ruling over all of it. Yes, he is the Lord, the Most High, the sovereign over even death and life. See, nothing ever, ever happens outside of his reign as the Most High. He is the all-glorious God. And here's what's just so fascinating. We've got to properly understand his sovereignty as he rules over all of this. You must keep in mind his unchanging perfections, plans, and promises. You must. Because everything he does as he rules is always filtered through these. I gave you some examples of those last week. Let me, just for a reminder, right? He is always perfectly love. Always. He is always perfectly wise. Always. He is always perfectly just. Always. He can never stop. He is always perfectly gracious. Always, always, always. And the Most High will bring in alignment everything he rules and reigns over through the filter of his unchanging nature because he is immutable. Look, there has never been a person or a situation that exists outside of God Most High. I mean, it just kind of blows our mind, doesn't it? I mean, it's difficult for us as finite creatures living here to even understand what he's doing there. I'm hopeful that this diagram helps you understand that. Because here's what is common. As we live down here, we're going through life and we're experiencing something hard. We're experiencing something that's painful. And we think to ourselves, well, I guess that happened outside of God's sovereignty because I can't understand it. And if you're going through a time like that right now, please hear me. God is always working plans through his perfect wisdom and his perfect love that we can never comprehend fully, never. And what he's offering us as this Most High is to trust him, even when life is confusing, painful, and hard. Now, this is a bit of a, I'd call a foundation of who he is as El Elyon. Let me ask and answer a question that seems to be then a problem. I've already alluded to it. What about bad things that happen in life? Bad things like abuse, accusations, and even jail. Is he the Most High then? And if so, how? Well, let me tell you, he absolutely is still the Most High in those situations. I want to show you a powerful example of this from the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, right, first book of the Bible, there are 13 chapters of the 50, 26% of the first book of the Bible makes this point that God, Most High, is over and ruling over bad things. And he makes that point through the life and the story of Joseph. His brothers abused him. They wanted to kill him. They sold him as a slave instead. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of sexual assault. And then he was imprisoned unjustly for at least 2 years. Here's the question, where was the Most High, where was El Elyon during that time? Well, Genesis 39 is a great chapter. You can turn over there. We'll show you the verses on the screen. When Joseph was sold as a slave to Potiphar and his wife, Genesis 39:2 tells us the Lord was with Joseph. When Joseph was thrown into jail, go down to verse 21, and it says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. As Joseph remained in jail, verse 23 tells us, the Lord was with him. Please hear me, follower of Jesus. Please do not doubt God's love and his goodness toward you when you're going through times of hardship and pain. He is with you. And he is still ruling and reigning over your life as he rules and reigns over all things. He is always with you. Joseph was not bitter at God. He wasn't angry at God. He wasn't doubtful of God. Joseph trusted God as the sovereign. I mean, try to step into Joseph's shoes as he was enduring all of these hardships and mistreatments. God never told Joseph the specific reason he was going through his hardships. We can relate to that. God doesn't tell us, hey, I'm going to take you through this hardship. I'm going to take you through these difficulties. But hang on, here's where it's going. He doesn't tell us that. He just says, trust me as you go through them. I am the Most High ruling over what you're going through right now. God never told Joseph, look, these hardships that you're going to go through, let me tell you exactly where that's leading in your life. It's going to be amazing. It's actually a really great plan, Joseph. So let me just give you a little secret insight. I'm going to put you into this amazing position of influence and power over Egypt, and you're going to save so many lives, Joseph. So just hang in there while you're going through it. God didn't do that. And God won't do that with us either. Right? See, he has perfect foreknowledge, but he doesn't share that with us. He just tells us, he says, no, look, I have it. I am stable, I am secure, I am ruling over it all, and all you need to do is trust me. Just trust me is what God says. And that's what Joseph did, but he had to wait. And it's hard to wait. remembering God's sovereign rule was a balm to Joseph's heart during that time. See, Joseph wasn't defined by his pain. He was defined by his trust in a sovereign God who is always and perfectly and lovingly working all things toward his intended ends. And his intended ends include he's getting all the glory through his plans. Now, here's a great conclusion, a summary to what Joseph says about his time in Egypt. Go to the very end of the book of Genesis. It's Genesis chapter 50. He's talking to his brothers, and he says, "As for you, brothers, who sold me as a slave and actually who wanted to kill me, as for you, you meant evil. You intended evil against me." There is evil and hardship in this world. There is pain, there is suffering, and they meant it on their brother. But look what he says here, "But God meant it." God meant he used their evil. He meant he intended to use the mistreatment of his brothers for good, is what it says. Because he is the Most High, who is ruling over everything that happens in this universe. God meant it for good to bring it about that many people, and here we get the plan, right? Now we know more of the plan at the end. That many people should be kept alive as they are today. See, my hope and my prayer this week has been that you would, through this time of looking at God's word, know God more fully as the El Elyon, and that you would be compelled to trust him with more dependency than you have been in the recent months. Because he is perfectly dependable. He deserves our worship and our praise for sure. And he deserves us to acknowledge him as this amazing, Most High God. Here's our third question, and it gets into some application for all of our lives. What happens to you when you trust El Elyon? What happens to you? Let me show you three things that happen that are described in the scriptures. The first thing that will happen when you trust him is that God will give you shelter in the storms. So these are the storms of life. It's the hardships that we go through. Flip over to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is an amazing psalm. It'd be a great psalm to read and just meditate on even this week. It starts off with saying, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." So during those times when we're feeling fearful and anxious and uncertain, you can turn to the Most High. You can even turn to him right now, and he will envelop you in his presence. And this verse is telling us, verse 1 tells us that there's such a closeness that we are in his shadow. And in his shadow, he is sheltering and protecting you. And whatever comes into your life, you know it has been filtered through the pursuit for all of his glory and all of his unchanging perfections, plans, and promises. And that is a safe place for you to be. You can turn to him right now and experiencing him being your shelter in the storms. Secondly, when you trust El Elyon, God will give you boldness during trouble. Now, let's go over to the book of Daniel. Daniel has a lot of references to God as El Elyon. That's a fascinating little side track that I can't take you on right now. But there is a reason, because of the hardship they were facing, that they're acknowledging God, and God's telling them, "Oh, I am still El Elyon, even during the hardship." lots of references in Daniel. Now, in Daniel 3, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they're not bowing down to the golden image. And he says, look, I'm going to give you one more chance. You bow or you're going to die. Famous story. They responded back to the king and they said, look, if you throw us into the fiery furnace, chapter 3, verse 17, he says, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Right? He is all powerful. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now look, these guys were not fools. They were not reckless when they were standing up to King Nebuchadnezzar. They knew what they were doing. They boldly stood their ground as they were placing their trust in the Most High. And they said, look, if it ends up well for us, that's all fine. If it ends up as a disaster for us and we die, that's fine too, because our decision is not going to be based upon the good or the bad outcome. Our decision is based upon our trust in a God that we know, and he is the Most High over all things, even you, King Nebuchadnezzar. So we will trust him right now, and we will do that with boldness. Maybe you're facing a decision right now in your life that feels scary. It's a step of faith that you've been hesitating to make, but you know that the Lord has been calling you and leading you to make it. Look, if you will trust your El Elyon right now, you can know supernatural boldness because the outcome of whatever happens is not under your control anyway. And God is just saying, hey, be bold. Take that step and trust me with the outcome. That's the second benefit, the second change that happens in us. Here's the third change that happens for the Christian who will be trusting in El Elyon. You'll be energized to action. For this one, flip over to the near the end of Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The people who know their God, the people who know God as sovereign, Most High, El Elyon, the people who know him more fully, the people who know him deeply, shall stand firm and take action. See, why would it say that? Well, it says that because when a person knows the Most High, man, they are energized to act because they know that as they move forward with every step that they take in their life, they are trusting everything to this sovereign God who's ruling over everything and is going to be all part of God's plan. Maybe you have been facing a situation and man, you have been talking about it a lot. You've been thinking about it a lot and you know what? Enough talk. It's time to act decisively. It's time to take action. You've been hearing the Lord speak to you, but man, you're kind of stuck in your head. You know, the more you know the Most High, the more you will be energized to take action in your life. And here's what's really fascinating, because you are confident that as you are listening to him and as you are taking steps forward, God's ruling over all of that. And you can trust him. And you can decide right now to take action, to follow wherever he is leading. Now look, there's three things that will happen to you as you trust your El Elyon. Now, there's lots more in the scripture. I mean, we're like on the tip of the iceberg on this thing, but boy, even those three, boy, there's a lot of depth and a lot of richness for us to soak in on those three. I thought I'd conclude today by just giving you an example from my own life of learning to live under God's sovereignty. When I was 25 years old, I was facing one of those fork in the road decisions that we have in life. I was debating whether the Lord wanted me to return to seminary and complete my degree or whether I should continue in the job that I had at a church. Man, I labored that decision in prayer to God. I journaled about it. I ferociously read scripture because I wanted the Lord to lead me. I wanted to know what he wanted me to do. Yet God did not give me the clarity of what to do like he had done in the past. God was not telling me the next step. And I told the Lord, hey, God, I'm a little bothered by this. I'd like for you to tell me the next step. I told the Lord, look, I want to be in your will. I want to be in step with me. So show me that next step. And instead of telling me what to do, God asked me a question. The question was, what do you want to do? Now, I didn't like that question at all. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I didn't want to mess it all up, right? I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to walk with the Lord. And maybe this is just me, or maybe you can relate. Most of my prayers were about asking God, well, do I go here or do I go there? Do I do this or do I do that? And boy, I was ready to be obedient as soon as God told me what to do. And God was saying, you choose. What do you want to do? And I said, oh, I'm afraid of messing this all up. Don't give that decision to me. And God says, you know what? You can't mess it up too badly because I am El Elyon. I am ruling over this, Sean, and you are seeking me and you're going down a path and I'm going to be directing you. And I said, hey, what if I go the wrong way on this path, God? Man, I was so afraid of going down the wrong path. As if there's one perfect path. Well, is it A? Is it B? Because I don't want to mess it up. Is it left or is it right? Because I don't want to mess it up. Look, God has perfect foreknowledge. He never makes a mistake. But we do. And when we make the left and then we look back, we're like, man, I should have made a right. We look at that and we say, man, that was a mistake. And we can have regret that haunts us. Guys, listen. If we are fully knowing God as the Most High, He is leading our lives in ways that are always under His rule and His reign. He is always leading under His sovereignty, and He is always working to His good. All of those purposes that are good for Him, all of the glory that comes to Him. We don't have to be so locked up and fearful to move ahead because our loving, wise God, who is always gracious, is saying, will you just trust me? Will you just move ahead? Now, I did make the decision. I had a timeline, I had a deadline. I made a decision and I went back to seminary. And yes, I experienced the Lord's presence with me as I went. I knew the comfort and the confidence of understanding the Lord as my El Elyon. And it was an experience for me where God was teaching me, Sean, as you're moving forward, being in relationship with me as you go is more important than the left or the right. I had an amazing time in seminary. I'm so glad I went. I believe it was part of God's sovereign plan because that's where I went. And as we move forward, we can all know with a sense of heightened confidence that God is leading us as well. Maybe you're hesitating to make a decision today, unsure, because you're unsure of the Most High's rule. Maybe you're the opposite of that. Man, you are quick to rush ahead, really without even acknowledging that the Most High is ruling over your life. And for both groups of people, here's what we should be doing. We should pray. We should be trusting God. We should be looking to our Most High for leadership and direction. We should make a decision that is biblical. And then we should move forward with sovereign-based confidence. Because God is always ruling over all of our lives. Man, if we would live like that, imagine how God would change this world. All of His followers moving forward with sovereign-based confidence. That's what God invites us into today. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together. Lord, we are a bit overwhelmed and awed by the fact that you are the Most High. And as large and as grand as that concept is, Lord, would you please bring the clarity of that truth right now to all of our hearts? Show us, Lord, a place, a decision, a move of action, a shift of our heart right now that demonstrates to you, you are the Most High over my life, and I trust you. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.